Ever get that feeling you need a law degree just to buy a house?
It can be a bit daunting, that's for sure.
Today, we're diving headfirst into a system that's been a head-scratcher for UK homeowners for ages, leasehold.
Centuries, even.
We've got a stack of reports, articles, legal analyses, the works, all about those recent leasehold reforms.
The biggest shakeup in decades, I'd say.
So if you've ever dreamed of owning a bit of England or Wales, buckle up, this one's for you.
And trust me, some of these changes are going to be eye-openers.
We'll unpack it all right here, what's changed, what's coming, and what it all means for you.
Right, let's get into it.
Now, I know a lot of you listening are already pretty familiar with the whole leasehold versus freehold thing, but just for anyone who's new to this, could you give us a quick rundown of those core concepts?
Absolutely. At its core, it's really about what you own, right?
Right.
Freehold, you own the property outright, the building, the land, the whole shebang.
Lock, stock, and barrel.
Exactly. Leasehold, on the other hand, is kind of like a really long-term rental agreement. Could be for decades, could be even longer. You own the right to live in that property for that set period, but you don't actually own the land itself.
So you're essentially renting from the person or the entity that does own the land.
Exactly, spot on.
Yep.
And that's the freeholder.
Right.
And historically, this system has it's caused some pretty big challenges for leaseholders, which is a big part of why these recent reforms are so important.
It's those issues, those pain points that have been making headlines that I really want to dig into. Because it's not just about understanding the jargon, it's about how this actually impacts people, you know? Like, one of the articles we have here goes deep on this whole peppercorn rent thing. Can you tell us a bit about that? Why has it been such a point of contention?
Peppercorn rent. Sounds almost cute, doesn't it? Like you could just settle your annual dues with a pinch of paprika. But in reality, these seemingly tiny ground rents have become a huge burden for a lot of leaseholders. What was meant to be a nominal fee, like a symbolic acknowledgement of the freeholder's ownership, has, well, in a lot of cases, it's gotten totally out of hand.
Yeah, so no free lattes for these homeowners. It sounds like this issue, along with a few others, really pushed for these reforms. What were some of those other major problems that leaseholders were facing that led to this big legislative shakeup?
It's kind of been in a perfect storm, really. On top of those escalating ground rents, leaseholders have been dealing with a real lack of transparency when it comes to service charges. You know, those fees you pay for the upkeep of the building.
Right.
Imagine getting hit with a huge bill, no breakdown, no explanation, just pay this.
Yeah, it does feel a bit like being left in the dark about what you're even paying for, especially when it's your home, right?
Exactly. And it wasn't just those unclear service charges. Lease extensions themselves have been a big point of contention, too. As you can imagine, as a leaseholder's lease term starts to get shorter, the value of the property drops, too.
Excellent.
Extending that lease, which is often essential if you want to sell or even get a mortgage, it was a real headache. Often really expensive, really complex, just generally a pain to deal with.
So yeah, a whole bunch of potential problems there for leaseholders, which I guess is why these reforms are so significant. Speaking of, let's talk about that first wave of reforms, the Leasehold Reform Ground Rent Act of 2022. What exactly did that change? Has it actually provided any relief?
It was a big first step, for sure. It essentially abolished ground rents for any new leases on flats and houses.
Okay, so that's a win for anyone buying new, right?
Absolutely.
No more worrying about those rent hikes every few years. But what about existing leaseholders who are already locked into those older agreements? Are they just stuck with those potentially high ground rents?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. And unfortunately, the 2022 Act didn't really address that specific issue. For those existing leaseholders, there isn't a cap on ground rent. Not yet, anyway. But, and this is important, the government is actually consulting on it right now. They know it's a major concern. So no immediate solution, but it's definitely something to keep an eye on as potential future changes could be on the way.
And that leads us to the next wave of reforms, the big one, yeah. The Leasehold and Freehold Reform Act of 2024. This one could be a real game changer.
Okay, so let's talk about that. This 2024 Act, everyone's saying it's a big deal. Is it really all that?
It has the potential to be, definitely. It's very comprehensive, actually. It tackles a lot of those long-standing problems we've been talking about, like head-on.
Okay, good. One of the key things is that it aims to make those lease extensions way cheaper. And it does that by getting rid of something called marriage value.
Marriage value. Okay, I'll admit that one's a bit of a mystery to me.
Right.
What exactly is that? Sounds kind of romantic for property law.
Right. Not exactly a love story, though.
Okay.
Imagine you're renting a flat, right?
Right.
And you decide to do some work on it. You pay for it yourself, some renovations, new kitchen, whatever, adding value to the property. Now, Your lease is up for renewal, and the landlord sees these great improvements and decides to up the rent.
Ah, sneaky.
That's basically the idea behind marriage value. Because extending the lease would increase the value of the property, the freeholder wants a piece of that increase, even though the leaseholder is the one paying for the extension.
So they're basically profiting from an investment they didn't make.
Exactly. The 2024 Act wants to do away with that whole thing. Put that value back where it belongs, with the leaseholder. This one change alone could save people thousands, tens of thousands even.
Wow, okay. That is significant. So it sounds like it really tries to even the playing field a bit between leaseholders and freeholders. What else is in the act? Anything else we should know about?
Oh yeah, there's more. It also tries to simplify the process of leaseholders actually buying their freehold outright,
right.
Make it much more straightforward, much more affordable. And then for leaseholders who aren't ready to buy the whole freehold, the act makes those service charges much more transparent. No more vague bills, no more hidden fees. Freeholders would have to provide a clear breakdown of those charges, make it much easier for leaseholders to understand where their money is actually going, and challenge any unreasonable demands.
Okay, so it sounds like, potentially at least, a win-win for leaseholders. But you said earlier it has the potential to be a game changer. Is there a catch? This sounds a little too good to be true.
Well, here's the thing. It has been passed into law, officially. But, and this is important, it's not actually in effect yet, not fully.
So it's law, but not implemented.
Yeah, exactly.
But what's the holdup?
The government is still working out the details of how it will all actually work in practice. So we have to wait and see how these changes are actually implemented and how that will impact both leaseholders and freeholders.
Right. So not a magic wand, but it sounds like a step in the right direction at least. And maybe even more importantly, it signals a real commitment to addressing these problems. Like they're actually taking it seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it makes me wonder, with all this talk of reform, is there a future where leasehold just doesn't exist anymore? Like, will it just be phased out? Or will it always be around just, you know, with a friendlier face this time?
That's the question. It's really hard to say.
Sure.
On the one hand, it does solve a lot of issues. It's more democratic, more transparent, and you avoid those leasehold headaches entirely.
Right.
But there are still some barriers. It's a big change, and people are used to the old way. Plus, lenders haven't always been so keen on common hold. It makes it harder to get a mortgage. But the government is trying to change that. They're actually pushing for common hold, want to make it more attractive to both buyers and lenders.
So maybe not as familiar as leasehold, but with the government's support, it sounds like common hold could really become a major player in the future. Definitely something to keep in mind. But for people who are dealing with leasehold right now, maybe thinking about buying, are there any red flags to watch out for? Anything you should absolutely know before you sign on the dotted line?
Such a good question. These reforms are great and all, but it's still so important to do your research. First and foremost, the lease length. Always, always ask about that. Don't even think about making an offer without knowing exactly how many years are left on that lease.
So the shorter the lease, the bigger the potential problem down the line.
Exactly. Ideally, you want as many years left as possible, definitely over 80.
Yeah.
Anything less than that. And it starts to affect the property's value, and it can make getting a mortgage really difficult.
Right, like a ticking clock.
Exactly.
What else should buyers be asking about?
Those ground rents we talked about. Even with the changes, you still need to know what the deal is. How much is it? How often can it go up? And by how much? You want to be in the know.
No more surprise rent increases.
Exactly. And while we're talking about costs, don't be shy about those service charges either. Ask for a full breakdown. What do they cover? How are they calculated? Have they gone up a lot in the past?
Transparency is key.
Absolutely. Ask questions, get the details, and if something doesn't seem right, don't be afraid to push back. Get clarification.
So lease length, ground rent, service charges. The big three when it comes to leasehold. Anything else?
One more thing, and people often overlook this one. Restrictions. Before you sign anything, check the lease agreement carefully. Are there any restrictions on how you can use the property?
What kind of restrictions?
It really depends on the lease. Some might have rules about pets or renovations or even subletting.
So if you're a pet person or thinking of renting out a spare room, you really need to read the fine print.
Exactly. Make sure you understand and are okay with any limitations before you commit to anything.
Right.
And this might go without saying, but getting some legal advice is crucial. A solicitor specializing in leasehold can really guide you through it all, answer your questions, and help you avoid any potential issues.
I bet that saved a few listeners a lot of headaches.
I hope so. It's a big investment, buying a property. It's always best to be prepared.
Absolutely. We've covered a lot today, but we're just about out of time for this deep dive. So before we wrap up, any final thoughts for our listeners who maybe are still trying to wrap their heads around all of this? It's a lot, I know, especially if you're new to UK property.
It is a lot to take in. But I always say knowledge is power, right?
Right.
The more you understand about how it all works, the better decisions you can make. And the good news is things are changing for the better.
Yeah.
These reforms are a big deal. They're making the system fairer, more transparent. It's a good thing.
Definitely, yeah. It feels like things are finally starting to become a bit more balanced. But since a lot of this is still in progress, is there anything in particular that you think leaseholders or people thinking about buying leasehold should be watching out for over the next few months, the next year even?
That's a really good question. Keeping an eye on how the government actually implements the specifics of the 2024 Act is going to be key. How are they going to calculate those lease extensions now without the marriage value? How will they make sure those service charges are actually transparent, actually fair? These are the details that will really make or break it.
So much relies on the fine print.
Exactly.
Stay informed, everyone. I have a feeling the story isn't over yet. We talked about common hold earlier, and it does seem promising as an alternative to leasehold. But realistically, do you think it will actually catch on, like on a large scale? Or is it going to stay kind of niche?
It's hard to say, honestly. On the one hand, it makes a lot of sense. It's more democratic, avoids the whole leasehold mess. But it is a big change, and it takes time for people to adjust. Lenders need to get on board, too. But the government is really pushing for it. You know, they want it to be the go-to choice, especially for new builds. So who knows? We might see a real shift in the next few years.
Imagine that. Common hold being the norm. It would be quite a change.
It would.
Well, this has been fascinating, to say the least. Thank you so much for joining us today for this deep dive into UK property law. You've given us a lot to think about.
It's been my pleasure, really.
And for our listeners, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Of course, if you want to learn more, we've got links to more information in the show notes.
Don't be afraid to do your research.
Yeah. Exactly.
But for now, it's time for us to sign off. Until next time, happy property hunting.